Now, national political party conventions like the DNC and RNC coming up in the next couple of weeks are often used to inspire and energize the faithful for the sprint to the finish line. They're also a time to take care of some business and signal what a party's priorities are and which interest groups can count on their agendas being advanced. That takes the form of the party's platform, which is hashed out in the spring and summer of the election year and then generally voted on at the convention. There have been some contentious platform debates in the past, but most times they don't get a lot of attention these days. Our next guest says these documents can still provide strong indications of how federal dollars would be spent if a party came to power and who's likely to be at the table when big decisions are made. Margie Hershey is a professor of political science emerita at Indiana University. She writes and teaches about political parties, organized interests, and media coverage of campaigns and elections. She's the author of the book Party Politics in America. She wrote an article, What Are Political Parties' Platforms and Do They Matter, for the conversation. Margie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
How have political party platforms changed in recent years compared to these hard-fought documents they used to be?
Well, they can still be hard-fought documents, depending on the kind of unanimity you have in a political party. The difference is that the parties themselves have become much more polarized in the last few years, which means that there is less and less disagreement within the party and a substantially increased disagreement between the two parties. So that has meant that having fights over the platform gets to be pretty high stakes, and they're avoided at all costs now.
Right. Look at this year. How have Democrats, for example, with some, you know, a range of policy options before them, how have they tried to hash out their differences without public squabbling?
Well, I think typically the way parties do this, the out party in particular, which the Democrats are right now, is to hold platform committee hearings around the country to hear from a variety of interest groups, to listen especially to the followers of whatever candidates have come close but not gotten the party's nomination. And I think that's been especially true of the Democrats this spring, that they've paid good attention to the concerns of people who wanted Bernie Sanders as the nominee, Elizabeth Warren, and others who at least had a reasonable representation in the primaries.
On the Republican side of things, we've seen the party officially say, we'll just keep the 2016 platform. And we've heard from the president and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, an important advisor in the White House and in the campaign, saying they want to have a much smaller thing, not a multi-page thing, but maybe almost an index card sort of platform. What do you make of the Republicans' approach to the platform this year?
Well, maybe they want one that President Trump is likely to read. I think that the Republican Party has had quite a few interesting changes over time in its platforms. If you were to read the 1952 or 1956 Republican platforms when Dwight Eisenhower was the Republican candidate, you would have seen that the Republican Party committed itself very strongly, very explicitly to civil rights laws, to equal rights and opportunities for women. There was nothing about abortion in the Republican platform at that time. That came in 1980 with Ronald Reagan. That was the first time that the Republican platform committed itself to a pro-life stance on abortion and started to become more representative of the evangelical Christian community than it is now. So we can really see over time changes in the platform reflect changes in the kinds of the amounts of power that different groups in the party's coalition have.
We're talking to Margie Hershey, political science professor at Indiana University, looking at party platforms, how they've changed over the years, and the role they play in politics. Margie, if there's an inquisitive, maybe undecided voter out there trying to really do their due diligence and figure out what each party and each candidate is all about, is it worth it for them to consider what's in the party platforms?
It is, Rob, although they might get just as good an idea from finding out from news sources what the platform says. The party platforms have typically been upwards of 50 pages, and generally speaking, a good chunk of the platform is very broad and very general. It's to appeal to voters about the kinds of virtues and values that most Americans hold. About a third of the platform, maybe even a little less than that, is the really key part. And that is the specific promises that the party's platforms make to those interest groups that are central to the party's victory in the next election. So for the Republican platform, we'll see very specific pledges that have to do with, for example, whether or not judges will be nominated by the president who do not commit to a human life amendment guaranteeing the sanctity of all human life beginning at conception. In the Democratic platform, we'll see a variety of specific pledges that teachers' unions are especially interested in.
And that's a big part of these platforms, particular interest groups that make up, in effect, the coalition that constitutes a Democratic or a Republican party, trying to make sure their interests are on the table and don't get left out, even if their side wins. So how jealously do some of these interest groups watch that platform and make sure their language gets in there?
Oh, this is big stakes for interest groups, and understandably so, because this isn't like giving to the United Way. You know, it's being a part of a party coalition isn't just sort of expressing your love for America. You want something from that party in return for providing your voting support to it. And these groups have understandable interests that they want to see paid attention to, just as all of us do. If we were in a position to do the same, we probably would. So that means that these organized interests testify before the party's platform committee hearings. They often try to get members on the party's platform committee, or at least sympathetic members of Congress or other national officials who can speak for them. And they pay really close attention to what seems to be in the lead as far as getting into the party's specific pledges in its platform.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page if they pay attention to party platforms. Susie says, I look at both sides and their platforms. And Susie says the platform of the House and Senate is more important than the president. So is there, if a party comes out with a platform, is that in some way binding on the presidential candidate and their House and Senate candidates around the country?
In a word, no. The challenge here is that the candidates are decided in primaries. They're decided by primary voters, not by the leaders of the parties in the various states. I mean, the state Republican and Democratic chair in Indiana can favor whoever they want, but they've got the same number of votes in the primary as I do. So there's really no way that the national party organizations can bind their candidates to support the platform. And in fact, we regularly see instances where that doesn't happen. The thing is, I would suggest to Susie, the problem is that the two parties in Congress don't have platforms. I think what she probably means is paying attention to what it is that they actually propose to vote on in Congress. And that you'll generally find stated in the party's platform. As much as the party's platforms generally go unread by almost everybody, including quite a few of the party's own candidates, if you read those specific pledges, you'll find that if the party gains power over government, if there is unified party control, those platform pledges, about two-thirds of them, will in fact be at least attempted to be fulfilled over the next 2 or 4 years by that party. So they're pretty good predictors of what it is the party wants.
That's a good place to leave it. Margie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Margie Hershey is a professor emerita of political science at Indiana University. She's the author of Party Politics in America, and she wrote an article, What Are Political Parties' Platforms and Do They Matter, for the conversation. You can find a link to that over at WPR.org/Central Time.